American cities have ordinances banning city employees and police from asking about immigration status. Some states forbid sanctuary cities because they know it undermines the laws of the state. Why should there be places in the U.S. which encourage and condone illegal behavior and are protected and coddled for breaking our laws? Those leaders of sanctuary cities could agree that because we're a free nation, people should have the right to change the laws if they can get away with it. That sounds crazy to me, but that's exactly what sanctuary cities do. Very interesting, though, right now, and what the governor of Arizona did a while ago to protect her state, which is overrun with illegals and their problems, all sanctuary cities are crying out and accusing Arizona of committing the shameful act of possibly inquiring that people who look Mexican or Spanish should show proof of citizenship. The federal government refuses to keep the border closed, so those numerous problems with illegals must be dealt with by the Arizona governor. Our bleeding heart liberals think it's unforgivable to embarrass any Spanish-looking person if he or she is here illegally. Why are we concerned about their tender feelings if they cross the border and break our laws? If they break into your home, would you still be polite and gentle with their feelings? If I tried to enter Mexico illegally, I would either be shot or incarcerated, or maybe even both. U.S. federal and state leaders should develop some backbone and close and protect our borders now, right now, and eliminate sanctuary cities, or our federal and state laws will soon become meaningless. The world should be laughing at us for tolerating sanctuary cities. For KSEO, this is Kay Swirling.
Thank you, Kay, and thank you for keeping it tuned in to AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz. It's turning out to be a beautiful Friday afternoon here on the Central Coast. It's Friday, May 14th, 2010. Your forecast for this afternoon calls for increasing clouds with lows around, highs that is around 70 degrees. West winds will be between 5 and 8 miles per hour. Tonight's forecast mostly cloudy with lows around 46 degrees. And your forecast for tomorrow calls for sunny conditions by the afternoon with highs in the lower 70s. Your Monterey Bay boaters forecast for this evening, west winds 10 knots, wind waves less than 2 feet, and west swells 2 to 4 feet every 9 seconds, along with patchy fog. Outside KSCO Studios, it's currently 65 degrees. We're going to move on to traffic conditions, starting off in Santa Cruz County, Mount Hermon Road, just east of Covenant Lane. A stalled vehicle in the number 2 lane. That was just reported by CHP less than 5 minutes ago. On the other side of the hill, CHP reporting in San Jose, northbound 280 just south of Saratoga Sunnyvale Road. A traffic hazard with tire tread in the number 3 lane. Everything at the Fishhook looking good. Traffic moving at the limit in both directions. But if you see something that we should know about, be sure to give us a call at 475-1080. Coming up next, hour number 2 of the Dr. Corey Gold Show. Filling in for Dr. Corey Gold is our own MZ.
Buddy, you're a boy, make a big noise, playing in the street, gonna be a big man.
It's time for hour number 2 of the Corey Gold radio program on KSCO. If you'd like to call Dr. Gold, the telephone number is 831-479-1080, 479-1080. And now, once again, here's Dr. Corey Gold.
What? You mean you didn't do a special promo for me? All right, well, whatever. Tim Z filling in for Corey Gold today on hour number 2. And we had a pretty interesting hour number 1. We featured a little exposure. We did a little exposure of a man who doesn't get a whole lot of exposure in this time slot on KSCO. That's Alex Jones. And we played the interview with Alex Jones and conducted by Radio Inc. owner Eric Rhodes. And we will continue the discussion of the mainstreamizing of someone who has not been considered too mainstream for some time. Alex, are you there?
MZ, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great. Good to hear you. Yeah, you are in Austin, Texas, in your studio, and you sound like you're right here with us through the magic of ISDN digital phone line. And so you did that interview with Eric a few weeks back, and what did you think of the – he asked you some pretty pointed questions, I think, didn't he?
Oh, I like that. I mean, I want to be asked hard questions because I want to be challenged. I want to really try to, you know, tell the truth and, you know, hone the information I'm putting out.
Yeah, he shared with me that the original person who was supposed to conduct the interview didn't want to do it, and because she didn't like what you're all about. In fact, she doesn't like you one bit, and he almost had to you know, remind her who the boss was. But I think he decided in the process that he'd rather interview you himself. So,
yeah, that's what he told me when he was here at the office. He, really nice lady that works with him, but she's kind of a mainline Republican and finds it offensive, the things I talk about. But look, I just cover the facts as I see them and let the chips fall where they may. You know, I mean, it's like this whole machete thing right now, this big movie coming out that Robert Rodriguez is going to release September 3rd. And I was contacted by Hispanic members of his crew that are worried about a backlash against Hispanics because it is not a exploitation film in the 70s classic vein. It is just off the charts, and I now have the actual script for it, and now the Drudge Report is linked to it, and the Washington Post has covered it today, because when they went and looked at the script themselves, they were shocked. I'm against a film where black people are the bad guys, or Hispanics are the bad guys, or white people are the bad guys. And I parallel it with Birth of a Nation, put out in 1915 by the famous director. And the Klan went from maybe 20, 30,000 people to several million. And, of course, the film shows black people as evil demons that are running around massacring whites. And then the Ku Klux Klan comes and deals with the problem. And, sitting in film school when I was being taught about this, now reading the script for this new film, I mean, that's literally what it is. I mean, it's the same parallel. And so I don't care what group it is. I'm going to expose it. And some people will say, well, that's radical, or that's controversial.
Fine. It's fine. I mean, but when you say you're against such films, you're not against, you know, having them be distributed. You just want to let people know that what you think of them, right?
Sure. Well, people, absolutely. That's a good point you raised, because I saw in the YouTube videos we posted where I break it down, a lot of confusion. Number one, people were in denial. They said, this is a joke trailer. It's not real. They have the star of the film saying, this is Machete with a Cinco de Mayo message for Arizona. And then it cuts to images of illegal aliens with sniper rifles shooting politicians and hacking people up with machetes. But before I even covered this last Sunday, was the first time I covered it. I'd known about it since Cinco de Mayo 3 or 4 days before. It was when I was contacted by Hispanic members of his crew that are concerned about a backlash that I actually started researching it more. But 2 days before I even covered it on Sunday, Fox, who's distributing it, 20th Century Fox, pulled the trailer that had 3 million views that they posted. Now, why did they pull the trailer? Because it's one thing to make a movie where white people are the bad guys and all racists and deserve to die. That's your free speech. It's dangerous. And I have free speech right to criticize it. But when they said this is a message to Arizona, then that made it political and was really a call to action with the violence in Santa Cruz by a pro-illegal alien march and a building being set on fire and a bunch of shops having their windows knocked out a week and a half ago, or attacks on police in Arizona. This is horrible, and we all need to live in peace. This country is having major economic problems. Mexico has literally collapsed financially. It's a failed state. 23,000 murders the last 2 years, kidnappings across our border. And you've got illegals running around all over the country at government buildings, hauling down the stars and bars or the American flag, and hoisting up the Mexican flag. So people are getting upset by this. And so we need to have all Americans come together, no matter what area of the country you live in, and speak out against this, because this is big foundation-funded racial politics, like we've seen with Reverend Wright up in Chicago, with his GD America and his anti-Semitic comments he's made and his anti-white comments. We just don't need it. Now, he can say it if he wants, but I'm going to criticize it and say it's bad, just like I criticize the Aryan Nations and the white supremacists. And if you go to their websites, I'm their number one enemy.
Yeah, the difference between you and me and other people who do not like things that they hear is a lot of the other people who don't like things that they hear want to stop you and me from talking about that. They want to censor. They want to cause. They're enemies of free speech. When you hear something that you don't like, and I hear something that I don't like, I want to respond to it. I don't want to stop it. I don't want to stop it from being able to be said, because that's the foundation. That's the cornerstone of our system, of our country, of our republic.
Well, I agree with you. Yeah. And I have four or five writers that write for Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, and we've probably written, I don't know, 10 articles or so in the last week or 6 days on this particular story. And we're covering the global financial meltdown and the rest of it. We can cover that later if you want. But I did yesterday point out, and when Aaron Dykes wrote the article titled "Racist Film Machete Produced with Taxpayer Funds," at the bottom of the article, we just point this out and say, well, if you support this, let the government know. If you don't support it, let them know, because I support people's free speech 100% until they call for violence, and I don't want this film to not be released. I just want to be able to criticize it and point out that it is fantasy. And that's the same reason Fox pulled their own trailer. That's not censorship. They pulled it. But when you have the Texas Film Commission, this isn't – because I live in Austin where this was produced. This is shot at the Capitol.
Oh.
This was shot in downtown
– it's your backyard.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah. And Rodriguez got Texas grants for the film studio he built at the old Robert Mueller Airport. And he got basically massive funding for this and other films. And so that is a concern. But that's for the voters. Should things – I mean, let me ask this question. Should the Aryan Nations, if they want to make a movie, should they get state of Texas funding?
Of course not.
Exactly. So the Aryan Nations can make movies if they want, as long as they don't call for violence, because that's yelling fire in a theater. But I don't want to pay for it. I don't want to pay for Reverend Wright. Reverend Wright could sit up there and spew all his racism and division, but he'd better not get my tax money. That's my only point.
Okay. So listen, you're picking up more radio stations now because a lot of what you've been saying for years is coming true, and people are beginning to see that. The Radio Inc. article is certainly going to help. And how do you feel about that? I mean, are you concerned that with more fame, there's more danger?
Absolutely. Quite frankly, I don't like it, and I really more and more don't like what I do, but I have to do it. It's a duty. I mean, it's not fun. I'll say that, because I can't control myself. I have to say what I really think. I have to say what the research shows, and that doesn't mean I'm always right, but I'm always trying to get it right. And a lot of stations in the last year have been picking up the show, like your fine stations, and now a whole bunch are turning it on. But the main reason for that is I have done – I quit counting at 3,000 interviews. But in the 15 years I've been on air, I immediately got on the talk radio circuit, because there's all these stations around the country that want somebody interesting to come on.
Yeah.
And so back when I had more time, I mean, I would some days do 15 interviews, a lot of 10 minutes, where they'd have me on to talk about something, and then that would generate calls, and they'd let me go and discuss it. And so I've basically been on every talk station – in the country. I mean, I've been on them all. WABC, KOA, you name it. I've been on Canadian, British.
Yeah, and you're a regular guest with George Norrie on Coast to Coast these days, even, right? So that gets you on a bunch of stations.
Absolutely, absolutely. They have me pop in on the news about once a month or so, or sometimes do the whole show. But so what's happening is I have been on so many stations, and I would go on and say, okay, on my website I have linked the IMF and World Bank documents, and I would give the numbers out. You can read this for yourself, where they plan to sell derivatives. They got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, and they're going to implode the major economies by design. They will then announce a bank of the world that you will pay carbon taxes to. And I would lay it all out, not because I had a crystal ball. It was public. It just wasn't put out on the mainstream media. And now people open up their Wall Street Journal. They open up their Financial Times of London, and they see them announcing world government. So people could disagree with me about my interpretation of the world government or where it's going or who runs it, but the denial is over. So thousands and thousands of radio shows had me on. And again, I quit counting it after 3,000. It's probably 5,000 now. And because I haven't been counting in about 3 years, but I haven't been doing as many because I don't have the time. And so everybody heard me talk about all this, and now it's mainstream news. I mean, here's an example. Last year, I was talking to doctors. I saw the medical reports. It was in the British and German and Czech Republic news that people were dying who were taking the bird flu and swine flu test vaccines. And I would read London Guardian on air, and people didn't believe it. Then it's come out now that, okay, they were dangerous. Okay, it was hype. It was a fraud. Even the UN's had to admit it. They were paid off to basically do it by Big Pharma. Hundreds of millions of vaccines have gone unused in the U.S., Canada, and England. So again, there's been such a loss of confidence overall, not just from my exposés of it, but from the government constantly lying to everyone, that they have almost no credibility. So people are now ready to actually look into what I have to say.
Yeah, well, geez, so that's got to be real gratifying, huh?
Yeah, kind of like gratifying when you're flying over the target, about to drop your info bombs and the SAM missiles are coming up.
So listen, Alex, you and I have talked about you coming here in the late summer, early fall to do a talk, an event somewhere, maybe even at the University of California, although I'm finding that it's very, very difficult to even find out they've got some wonderful, wonderful venues there, but it's like pulling teeth from a cow to even find out who the student organizations are that would be required to sponsor such an event. I said, well, where's there a list of such a group of organizations? Oh, that's secret. You know, that's you're not allowed to know that. I said, come again? It's a publicly supported institution. Anyhow, we can do it somewhere else. But in light of the news that you about the violence that went on in downtown Santa Cruz recently that you spoke of earlier, you still interested in coming here?
Absolutely. My issue is, I probably do still 6 hours of broadcast a day. You know, I just did 4 hours, and I'm not just sitting back during the show. I put a lot of energy into it, and then I'm doing an hour here. And so my wife is sick of me being gone, and I get offers to travel everywhere, and I want to do it. The problem is I do one event, then people get mad and say do 100 events. I'd like to get out to California.
Make it a vacation. We talked about that.
Oh God, but yeah, going through the naked body scanners to get out there. But I am going to be out I will be out in California during the summer doing some Ventura shoots. But I was almost disappointed when they called up and said, we want you to be a bigger part of the show and come out here a lot. Because frankly,
you're talking about conspiracy theory on True TV with Jesse Ventura. You're going to be the main consultant for that program. Is that right?
Yeah, one of the consultants. And they tell me they want to put me in 5 of the episodes instead of 2. But again, I'm not sitting here whining or complaining. It's just that, I mean, this is, most talk show hosts and people that I've met, they really just want to be number one. They want to be huge. They want to make $10 million. And, you know, with Alex Jones, it's not entertainment and it's not partisan ideology. And I really know that we have no future if we don't turn this around. I mean, look at what's happened in every other culture and every other nation. Government killed over 200 million people in the last century. This is life and death for me. And so it's like when somebody says we want to put you on national television, it's kind of like, ugh. But again, I have the responsibility to do it.
So you get that much more exposure, and it's a good thing.
Yeah, but then you get even more exposure, and then you get all these enemies, and then people make stuff up about you, and you know,
I believe you have a stronger presence, a larger presence on the internet than Limbaugh does himself. But, you know, you're far from Limbaugh's jillions of miles ahead of you still in terms of radio exposure.
Sure.
Now,
I mean, Rush Limbaugh.
I hope to help you, you know, catch up with him, because I think your message is great, and I think it should be out there, and I think it's very, very different, and everything else is tiresome and boring as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I appreciate that, but I mean, Limbaugh, you know, changed talk radio and has done a lot of great things, and he's certainly, you know, better than
people. And Limbaugh is the anchor tenant on our station. You know, Everybody I've asked who says, we love your radio station, I always say, just out of curiosity, how did you discover? Well, I was spinning the dial and I happened upon Rush, and so I kept it there, and then I heard all your other great programming. So,
no, I mean, he's a great anchor for a station. It's just that, Rush Limbaugh, if you go to Alexa.com and you put RushLimbaugh.com in and you put Infowars.com in, you can put the graph side by side. We are, I didn't pull the graph up, but we've got about three times the traffic conservatively, just on one website, and I've got a bunch, than Rush Limbaugh does. And if you go to YouTube and our 8 YouTube channels, there's over 100 million views just on my videos there. With all my other films, it's about 150 million other views that we can just look at.
Did this just evolve, or was it a plan? Because it wasn't very easy for you to get on radio stations.
Well, I mean, I just...
So you figured, who needs radio stations? Let's just go to the web. You know, there's no barriers to entry. Is that what went through your mind, or did that just evolve?
Look, about 17 years ago, I was in college, and they were teaching me America was bad, world government's good, you need to turn your guns in, and then I'd turn CNN on, and they would say, there's no world government, these kook militias think the government wants their guns. And I was like, something's wrong here. So 15 years ago, I went down and got an access show. A few months later, I got a weekend show. And then I got, you know, syndicated on, you know, 30, 40 stations, you know, forever. One time when Clinton was about to leave office, I got up to about 100 mom and pop stations. And then as soon as 9/11 happened, I talked about it being an inside job, and 2/3 of the stations dumped me. And the network said, well, you can, I guess, do this if you want, but they're all going to dump you. And I said, fine, I don't care. I'm not going to change what I have to say. So I never intended to have the success I've had. I simply was going to tell the truth myself on my own. And
that's still the deal, too.
So. Yeah, that's still the deal. And when I say 9/11 is an inside job, I'm saying Gulf of Tonkin was staged. I'm saying six of the 10 9/11 commissioners say we were lied to about it. I'm saying at bare minimum was allowed to happen. And I'm not saying there's not a Muslim threat and all the rest of that. You know, I mean, there's certainly that's going on. It's just that we've been lied to. Oklahoma City is 100% an inside job. We know the names of the people that did it. I mean, I've interviewed the people in the building, cops, you name it. I mean,
Alex,
it's just.
Alex, I got to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Was the moon landing real?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. I'm happy you said that, because I believe it was real, too.
But there is a conspiracy involved.
Tell me.
Well, I've interviewed Raymond Teague, and you can look at the famous videos of the first three Apollo landings, and he was on the first mission control, you know, the first line. They had two backups, and he also worked for RCA Corporation. He worked for Air Force Intelligence before that with very classified systems. He can't tell me about most of it, but he ran the cameras on the moon, you know, from Houston. And he's come on my show, and mainly because he's had so many heart attacks, he thinks he may not be alive much longer. But that was a year and a half ago. He's still alive, thank God. And told what he could. He told me more privately, but was shaking when he did it because, you know, he signed all these national security agreements. But the bottom line is this from other NASA insiders is that they have much more advanced. Dr. Bob Bowman, the former head of Air Force Weapons Development, he was on 2 weeks ago. They have much more advanced spacecraft and systems. And for national security reasons, because 90%+ of NASA is just a front, it's really a Pentagon operation. Most of their missions are Pentagon, like that space plane that blasted off 2 weeks ago, and they admit it was a secret mission.
Yeah.
People couldn't even look at it. They had it in the big, you know, pod dome. That what people were shown, was basically not really what was going on. And that it's much more advanced than the public even knows, and that they wanted to show people beautiful color photos, but because of the Van Allen radiation belt, even with the lead shielding canisters, that it was putting spots all over the film, so they just faked photos for the public.
Oh, my. Well, in any case, we're going to take a commercial break here. We're talking with Alex Jones, and I think we're going to go ahead and open the phone lines if anybody wants to call 479-1080 and participate in the conversation. You hear Alex on AM 1340 live from 9 to noon opposite Rush on our big station, and you also hear him, I think, from 7 to 10 p.m. on AM 1080, this radio station, but he's with us today. This hour, and we've exposed Alex to the Rush Limbaugh audience, to many of whom have not heard of him before. And this is as a result of an article, a mainstream radio publication article that is, I believe, still the current issue of Radio Inc. magazine. And I thought now is the time, because I'm sensing a sea change. I'm sensing a whole lot of interest on the part of mainstream people. People are just plain disgusted, as I am, about politics as usual.
And they're going to rob us if we don't stop it. And, I mean, just to add, Michael Swerling, you should brag. You're the one that actually got me in Radio Inc. And the nice fellow that came by that owns it and runs it, you know, told me that, because he used to live out there by you and was good friends with you, still is good friends with you. Yeah. It was great having you visit our office. I tell you, your mother is really a character, and you can always tell when somebody is just super, super smart. I mean your mother just exudes that. She reminds me of my grandmother.
Yeah.
I mean I've got one grandmother who's still alive. She's really, really sweet, and she's smart as well. But like your mother, you know has that almost crazed intelligence in her eyes, like my grandmother.
That's pretty good. Yeah, it's funny. We had. Doris Day lives in KSCO country, and I guess she listens to the radio. I had heard that she was an occasional listener to KSCO. We had her on once for a few minutes, ostensibly to discuss animals, because she's into animal rights and so forth in a big way. And all she wanted to do was talk about my mom. And she said, "You got to give her a big hug when you see her, for me, you know."
No, your mother, I mean, had quite a presence.
Yeah, so we enjoyed visiting you.
I apologize. The air conditioner was broken to on.
Yeah.
When she was here, it was about 65 degrees, because it was already hot here 3 weeks ago when you visited, and I was in here sweating in studio, and I said, "Look, I don't care what you do. Get the air conditioning crew out here and fix it." So then we come in on Sunday, and it literally was 65 degrees.
That's pretty good. We're talking with Alex Jones. If you want to give us a call, 479-1080. Here's Zoltan. Welcome to the noon program with Alex and MZ.
Yeah, hi, Alex. Hi, MZ. You know, welcome to KSC. It's good to hear you. Yeah, okay. I really agree with, one statement you said of 9/11, the inside conspiracy, to some degree, where I believe, in my view, that was something what the government actually allowed to happen. For some of the reasons, what I think is, if we had all the red flags coming up at Boston, the lawyers were, they're told that, here we have some people who actually want to board the plane, the hijackers. They had no baggage, just the cash. But they were afraid from lawsuits. They allowed all those hijackers just to board the plane to actually, start this whole process. And also another thing, when some of these illegal Muslims were caught on stopped North Carolina with a false driver's license or expired visa, he became one of the hijackers who actually, I think, he crashed into the Pentagon. Okay, so if he would have followed our own rules and regulation and forced the immigration back in those days, we wouldn't have this problem. So to trigger an economic problem in the U.S., the liberals actually used the Muslim, these extremist Muslims as a surrogates to fight our capitalist system, to fight our own economy.
Let me add a caveat to that. Springman, the former head of the U.S. Embassy in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, about 2 weeks after 9/11, I saw the Toronto Star. He was interviewed, and he said, "Look, I was ordered and others were ordered to let all these al-Qaeda people in, and we would refuse, and then the CIA would come down on the State Department and order them let in because they were on the terrorist list of known al-Qaeda. And then when he got back to the U.S., they said, "Look, their terror names, including Muhammad Atta and others, are just cover stories for them. They're really U.S. intelligence assets." And I remember the Defense Language School. Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Butler was in the San Jose Mercury News, And he said, look, I don't know what happened with this, but these guys were trained at bases, and these guys were at my base. And then it came out in Newsweek. Oh, some of the hijackers, it's strange, were, you know, getting training at U.S. Government operations. And it just goes on and on and on and on and on. I mean, come on. I don't even begin to know exactly what happened, but, I mean, I've interviewed the people that were ordered to let these guys into the country.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. Can I have one more thing?
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah, this global governance stuff, okay, really started in Europe, okay, when they extended the EU. So they wanted to include all these extra countries to fight the U.S., fight the U.S. dollars, fight our economy. And just what comes out is right around now, the EU is just about to collapse. And at the end, no, we are helping the European socialists who helped the Obama to with the Nobel Peace Prize and all the garbage to actually destroy economy. So just to get it even, okay, put us in a plain level with the Euro socialist.
Well, it's even more sophisticated. They released the Abu Ghraib photos to cause hatred of America. It's a very sophisticated system, and our own government did. And then it's the same thing over and over again with these drone attacks where they openly announce we've given, the 25-year-old guys in government facilities on the ground flying these 1,000-plus now AP-reported drones, and they're allowed to kill no-name terrorists. If you, quote, act like an insurgent, we're going to kill you in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Imagine if 1,000 things were flying around us, and to kill one guy they think may have a gun, they bomb a wedding of 150 people. And that's what a month ago, Gerald Celente, who's a great trends forecaster that we interview every few weeks, said. He said, look, the government isn't going to need to stage terror attacks.
Yes.
By bombing these people and making all these enemies, you know, those are tribal areas in Central Asia, they will come over here and kill you for real, and then look what we have with Pakistan and the Times Square situation. So, and believe me, if we attack Iran, and they're not, ladies and gentlemen, they're going to sink ships in the Strait of Hormuz. Oil prices are going to at least triple. That's what all the main analysts are saying. And the government isn't going to have to stage any events. They've got Iranian sleeper cells over here. They're going to blow stuff to Kingdom Come with special forces operations. There's no telling what real troops can actually do, and the government's going to love that because we're not going to be complaining about banker bailouts or takeovers or Patriot Acts anymore because the Iranians are going to be blowing the hell out of us.
Zoltan, thanks for your call. Derek in Santa Cruz, you're on the air.
Hello. Oh, God bless you, Alex Jones.
God bless you.
This is not so much the last question. I want to make it real fast. I just pray for you every day. I listen to you religiously. I'm a new listener, and you've been charged with leading our nation, so talk to the rock and don't hit it. So God bless you. That's all I want to say.
Well, I better do a good job. God bless you.
Derek, right. How did you discover Alex or KSCO or both?
I'm parking the beach in Aptos, and I see one old 70-year-old man listen to you, and I think it was interesting what you were saying, and I converted. So,
gotcha. Okay.
We talk sound, so I just want God to bless you, and don't be scared, you know. Don't be afraid, because you speak the truth. So.
Well, I'm not afraid. It's just that what I'm doing is real, and it isn't safe at the end of the day. And so I'm kind of sad, and I don't want to talk about myself all day. It's just more and more. Let's just say this. I'm in over my head, and I don't think I'm up to this. But you know what? Nobody is up to it. You know, I mean, that's part of life.
Hey, you're elected. Sorry, you're elected.
What you've been wanting to require. God bless you.
Okay, thank you, Derek. John in Santa Cruz, you're on the air on KSCO.
Hi. Alex, this is a great pleasure to talk to you. I listen to you all the time on the Internet, and I really like what you're reporting. One thing I wanted to point out, I'm a Santa Cruz resident, and I've been hearing you repeatedly mention that the vandalism on Pacific Avenue was motivated by the Arizona Immigration Reform Bill. And I don't quite see it that way. I don't think that's correct. But I think it was just a general May Day, some guys dressed up in black running up and down the street, breaking in windows.
Well, I mean, let me just throw this out in a respectful way. I don't just look at something and decide, okay, I want to bash the illegal immigrants, so I'm going to say this. The AP, you can pull this up, Reuters and others reported that it was a pro-immigrants rights march. Yes, the anarchists were there. I pulled up local anarchist websites. We wrote articles about it where they were talking about how they were going to be there. It was white people. It was Hispanics. I didn't in the video see any black folks there. But, yeah, it was a bunch of college kids mad on the International Communist Holiday, May Day. And, right. I mean, look, that's – I mean, that the AP found that it was an immigrants' rights march. And, of course, the Black Bloc, as they're called, you know, one of the subsects of the anarchist, and they always call themselves anarchists, but then when I meet them, they're wearing red stars and linen pins. I mean, that's the opposite of an anarchist. But so – And then I did get emails with other articles saying it was anarchist from blogs and things. So, I mean, maybe you're right, but I just went with what the news said.
Let me give you a little bit of the information. You know, on Pacific Avenue, just kind of on the south, toward the south end of it, there is an anarchist group that has a little place there. And these are actually peaceful anarchists. They teach people how to live outside the government control grid. They provide a valuable service to the community, and my suspicion was is that I think this may have been provocateur to discredit them.
Well, let me say this: I look at body language, okay, and I've been to. Yeah. Countless events in the last 15 years where big, they always put big cops in dressed up like anarchists, and they were caught in Denver, the Denver Post. They were caught in Ottawa, the Royal Mounted Police at a North American Union summit, SPP summit. Big guys, and then they were attacking cops, and it looked like WWF wrestling, and then the anarchists all leaned over. You can see they were wearing the same black combat boots, and I pointed that out, and then people called the Royal Mounted Police, and they confirmed that, okay, we staged it. Now, that said, I know body language, and I know meth head college students, and I've seen the videos from different angles, and their body language was they were enjoying it, they were having fun. When the cops provocateur it, they do it like a machine and then run off. Okay, and they always put big cops in. Now, that said, it looked like – anarchists always get mad at me because they're saying that I'm attacking all anarchists. No, I'm so libertarian, I lean towards, you know, anarchy. It's just not possible in a huge civilization. It is not possible. You've got to have government to protect your rights, a very small government. So I'm not bashing 95% of anarchists in the thousands of different flavors because it is anarchy. I'm talking about – these communist groups that call themselves anarchists who have physically attacked me in Denver and other places, and they are big supporters of Mecha and La Raza and all these groups, and that's who it looks like attacked Santa Cruz. Now, I may be wrong, but this is all I do is study this, and watching that video or different angles of it, it looked like a bunch of people hopped up on drugs, out having fun, and it's not fun to set fire to a building.
The only question the cops don't
set fire to buildings.
John,
I
hate to
you.
Do this. We got a lot of people who want to call, who want to talk. So thanks for your call to the program here on KSL.
Hey, but send me some info. Send me some info.
Let's see. Scott in Santa Cruz. Quick, you're on the air.
Hey, MZ.
Hey.
Thank you for putting Alex on.
Hey, you bet.
The first place I've gotten to listen to him, and you may or may not know this, but I've actually been a host on your station, and
Think
it's really amazing. Yeah, this is Scott Sterling. I've been in your West segment.
Okay.
Good to get to talk to you.
Isn't it interesting how Alex plays well with the hard left and with the hard right, but people in between are scared bleepless, you know? So haven't you noticed?
I think I have to be in the same camp with Alex because I don't think that – I think it's almost a conspiracy the way we're forced to accept either the hard left or the hard right.
Yeah, we should be able to choose issues from all the sides and be who we want to be. I mean, I'm more of a – I've changed over the years. Usually when people are younger, they're more, liberal. I was more conservative, if you want to use these, you know, these boiled-down terms. Especially socially, I was a lot more conservative. And I'm still, you know, very conservative on that end because I'm against abortion. But I don't, you know, like, hate gay people like a lot of conservatives do. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a complex issue.
Yeah. Right. And we have to separate our personal beliefs from how our government operates, too.
Absolutely.
That's extremely important. But what I really wanted to get to is that I think it's really amazing that you're talking so much about truth and what's really going on. And what I think is really missing in the entire talk radio universe is somebody with a similar ideas to what you're talking about, but with a scientific background, because science and technology are such a huge part of our whole existence today. And I'm hoping that people will come on and listen to what I have to say, because I'm a scientist and I want to get to the truth.
Well, your dog seems to agree with what you said.
You know, what he says is something I think about every day. That's what I was saying earlier, is that dog barking.
Okay. Well, you know what we can hear. We'll just put that.
No, no, it's okay. I was about to ask a stupid question, like, what kind of dog is that? But I love dogs. The point is exactly what he said. That's when I said 5 minutes ago, I'm in over my head. I don't really like this. This isn't fun. I mean, it's fun to fight tyranny, but I don't see myself in the place as some big leader or somebody who's got all the answers. And I wish more people from different walks of life would get as aggressive as I've been, because we're in trouble. I mean, I want other leaders to stand up. That's why I love Ron Paul.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I've never been able to. We haven't tried really hard, but I'd love to be able to interview him. I know you've done it a number of times, and I know you're a big supporter of Ron Paul. And
well, I'm worried about him. I mean, he's in great health and exercises, but I happen to know some about his schedule, and he does about 7 days a week, between 10 and 15 interviews, some of them an hour long. And I happen to know he sleeps about 4 hours a night, gets up about 3 a.m. to exercise. He's totally disciplined at 75. The guy is a machine. Yeah. And that's somebody who comes from a professional, disciplined surgeon, you know, background, who also his parents, you know, made him milk cows when he was 5 years old every day at three. So I mean, that is an old-fashioned American right there.
Yeah, got the work ethic. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So here's our next caller, Theodore in Santa Cruz. Welcome to KSCO with Alex Jones and MZ.
Well, I'm just so glad I happened to tune in to today after I was listening to Alex on the web and decided I'd heard it all and turned you on. And thank you, Michael, for making your airwaves available to this man. And thank you, Alex, for being on the front lines. You make our work easier. I wanted to mention that some of your friends are in town this weekend. I don't know if you know about the Understanding Deep Politics conference that's happening this weekend.
You know,
in
I
Santa
just
Cruz.
Heard about that, but tell us a little bit about it. I don't know. Are you talking about my friends or Alex's friends?
Alex's friends.
Okay.
No, I was invited out, and unfortunately, again, I've got to take my son to a birthday party camp out, so I couldn't go. But no, they've got Peter Dale Scott is going to be there, and just a lot of other great people.
David Ray Griffin, Michael Parenti, Barry Zwicker, I'm not sure, Jim Mars, I'm sure you know. And
they're all great. Zwicker's
all
great, too.
And I want to mention to folks listening, because I don't think it's gotten very good advertisement, but it starts tonight around 6:30, goes through the weekend all day, Saturday and Sunday. It's going to be at the UCSC Inn, which is the old Holiday Inn on Ocean Street, and I encourage people to just come down. And there is some money involved, but you can go on the website, understandingdeeppolitics.org.
Now, you got to pay to fly these people in. You got to pay for the hotel.
Truly. And, and they're worth every penny, as you are. And send your money to all these guys, folks. They're going to, you know, they're leading the charge. And I, again, I just want to thank you so much.
Okay,
and,
Theodore,
and I'm worried
great.
About you traveling on those planes.
Well, I got to do it if I come out to see you.
I know. That's why I don't want to. You know, I'll come and see you if you come. But you know, that's how they assassinate
these days. Where do you think would be a good venue, Theodore? You think Coconut Grove? That's probably the largest venue, or maybe I guess Santa Cruz Civic Auditorium would be the largest.
Civic,
right?
Rio
Theater, I think that's 600, 700 people.
So that's going to be your judgment call, but
yeah.
Big.
Okay.
Big, and we'll help get the word out.
You guys are really getting me into it now here.
Oh, yeah. You've got so many fans here.
Yeah. I know. I want to see everybody. It's just that Anyways, go ahead.
Try to make it happen here.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I want
to combine it with something else, like you're heading out to California anyhow, you said. So, okay, great. Thank you, Theodore. Appreciate your call.
Okay, thank you.
Jason in Watsonville, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yes, great show, and thank you so much for having him online. Alex, I had a comment and a question. I've been following Alex Jones ever since 9/11 happened. I got all his videos, and I appreciate you, you know, all that you do. And matter of fact, MZ, if you can get Alex Jones to come out to Santa Cruz, I will personally, along with, I'm sure I can get my friends as well, we will go door to door. I know I will go door to door and help promote the event. That's how passionate I am about spreading the word about, you know, Alex Jones and defeating the New World Order. So, I mean, if you can get Alex Jones to come out here, because that's what we need. We need fresh blood. We need new people to hear the message that Alex Jones, talks about. So, you know, if we're going to bring him out here, then I'm going to do my part to bring as many new people.
Well, shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com. We might just take you up on that, okay?
And quick question for Alex Jones. A couple years ago, I heard you mention that you were working on a documentary on a JFK conspiracy. Are you still working on that?
It's called Black Sunshine, and it's such an engrossing subject. There's so much evidence. I've been working on it 5 years now, and it's basically shelved right now because I've got to make another film all about eugenics and what they're doing what they're doing to us through the food, the water, the whole system. But Black Sunshine is on the shelf.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to that one whenever that comes out.
Okay, Jason, thanks for calling. Richard N. Watsonville, you're on the air with MZ and Alex.
Well, thank you, Mike. Mr. Jones, I think you made a mistake a little while ago about not being any blacks you saw on the footage the other night. The first gentleman that was arrested was an African American.
Okay, well, I was just talking about the video footage I saw. I don't even know why
I'm just saying the one that was arrested. The second one arrested was a white guy with red hair. The other thing was I also noticed that it looked to me, when I looked at the video of the riot downtown, it looked to me like Michael Rockin and Harold Scarry and Zach Friend. That would be like the mayor and the chief of police and the public information officer. You think I'm kidding? But the mayor teaches Marxism up at UCSC. The public information officer worked for Obama's campaign. Oh yeah, he's the head of the Democratic Party over here. The question I got for you, Alex. This is a question, man, that I've been thinking about all day. And it's like, how do we sell you? Who do we sell you to, man? We're into advertising. All I hear out of you is gold and survival food. Now, which mom and pop store can I go to downtown and sell Alex Jones to? Because right now, you're raising all this fuss on a 1,000-watt station. And we got a 10,000-watt station.
Well, he's on the 10,000-watt station, too, at night.
Right now, we're on a 10,000-watt station right now.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this. Alex Jones isn't going to save anybody. It's all of us having an idea. And, you know, my sponsors are great. I've got to plug them all the time because I've got a big belt. No, I'm talking about your sponsors. I understand. Let me tell you who you sell.
Who do I tie on to?
You sell people with listeners, and I get a big response from these stations, so that's there. And you sell any business that you know, basically wants to reach an audience and who believes in the message. And, you know, the obvious things are gun shops, but also, you know, any type of alternative bookstores. There's all sorts of things to sell with the show. I mean, I have all sorts of sponsors on InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I mean, go look at those type of sponsors. Go look at my sponsors and
piggyback with those.
You know, contact them. Yeah, they know the show's having a result. And so say, hey, if you want to, have a big response, advertise on our station as well.
Well, I know when this first happened, I asked Mr. Zwirling if you were better than Rush Limbaugh. And at that point, you were not. So I'm thinking you are now because of all the people that have been calling up and the demographics of these people. But
I'm not in competition with Rush Limbaugh.
No.
And Rush Limbaugh has been around for 20 years. He dwarfs me. He's an icon.
Yeah, but when you start throwing out all the numbers out of the book, you got to be careful there, man. I mean, we can all play with them numbers, right?
I didn't hear him do that.
Well, when we're talking about listeners and stuff, he shows better in one than the other, and you know.
No. I was telling you.
Internet.
Michael brought up. You're bigger on the internet probably than Rush Limbaugh, and I said yes, I am, and
yeah,
I gave you Alexa.com. He was asking a question.
No, I don't care about the internet. I'm more concerned about Arbitron.
I understand.
Especially 12 plus, and the cum figures Monday through Sunday.
Okay. Richard, right, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it. Here comes Michelle in Salinas.
Hello?
Hi, Michelle in Salinas. You want to talk about
H1N1?
Hello, it's Marcella
in Salinas.
Oh, Marcel. Okay, go. Yeah, you're on with Alex Jones and MZ.
Thank you. I have a hard time getting a hold of you, Alex Jones, but I want to commend you for having Russell Laylock and Leonard Horowitz and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny discussing the H1N1 swine flu vaccine. But can you please ask for a boycott of all vaccines? Now they're giving the hepatitis B shot within 2 hours of birth. The autism rate is now 1 in 67 kids. I'm the mother of 2 vaccine-injured children, 1 totally brain damaged. Please talk more about people having home births, protecting them from all these agents of the state who deliver all these toxic vaccines.
Let me give folks a message on this. There are tens of thousands of declassified instances, you know, cases where the government admits that they have put troops in a chamber and nerve gassed them to death and told their family they died of the flu, or where they would radiate small babies to death, or where they would sterilize Native Americans in the last 20 years. And so when you know, I mean, here's an example. I knew 15 years ago they were taking blood from all babies at U.S. hospitals and putting it in a Pentagon database. That's now mainstream news. And so it's not that the doctors and nurses are bad. They're compartmentalized and don't know that the vaccines are being used as a delivery system for eugenics, soft kill weapons, just like the polio vaccine still has SV40, deadly cancer virus. Most cancer is viral. That's why cancer's up on average several thousand percent. That's why we've gone from 1 in 25,000 having autism 30 years ago to now 1 in 60-something, and then that's mainstream news. And so it's getting worse and worse and worse. And, yes, there's no reason to take the hepatitis shot. It's one of the most dangerous on record. It's only for sexual transmitted diseases and intravenous drug users. Why do they shoot babies up at the time of birth with this? This is eugenics, and it is pure evil, and I wouldn't take anything this government or Big Pharma pushes.
Okay, Marcella,
Can I say one thing, please, one thing?
Real quick. We got a bunch of other people in just a few minutes.
Please listeners go to YouTube, what they don't want you to know about vaccines. Thank you very much.
Okay. Nick and Carmel, you're on KSCO with MZ and Alex.
Yeah. Hello, Alex and Michael. Michael, thank you so much. Congratulations for getting Alex on. It's a
pleasure. Well, I want to see Alex really grow and be on a lot of stations.
I mean, you're taking a real stand here. And
I want to commend him too. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, really. I hear people calling the station complaining about this and that, but nobody ever gives you a good pat on the back. Well, hopefully, again, congratulations for what you have done. I
appreciate it, Nick. Thanks.
And the other thing is, you know, we had Sheriff Richard Mack here Wednesday night at the Freedom Forum.
The new, well, relatively new Santa Cruz sheriff. Sort of new Santa Cruz sheriff.
Okay,
whatever. Yeah.
And one of the points, you know, and Alex knows about all this, of course, is that, again, what he was talking about is that the county sheriff, he's the chief law enforcement officer in the county, period. And that the feds, the IRS, whoever, basically have to have his permission to come in his county.
Absolutely. That's under the state legislatures, under the state constitutions. There's a new film coming out Monday on the subject, Don't Tread on Me, Rise of the Republic. And we need to take our counties back and take our cities back and take our states back and you know, not be black or white or Hispanic or Asian, but be Americans and constitutionalists, because any time they take your Bill of Rights away, you are going to be enslaved. And so we've all got to stand together on this. And I'm so excited to see that Sheriff Richard Mack, who I've been interviewing for 15 years, is now so prominent nationwide.
Yeah.
Well, he had a very good speech that he gave. I mean, everybody was just captivated. It was an excellent speech. And guess whose name came up that we have to get out here next? That was Alex Jones. We're waiting for you, Alex.
Okay. I'll come out, okay?
You have to come out here. And, you know, your name came right up. Where is it? We got to get Alex Jones out here.
Okay. Thanks. We're working on it.
One more thing here. Alex, could you explain the plan of San Diego to the people? And also locally, we have the Packard Foundation. Now, my understanding is David Packard was part of with Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller in forming the Trilateral Commission.
I have seen that name.
Right, David Packard, Packard Foundation.
Yeah, he's dead, but his daughter Julie runs the foundation now, and she's
right.
Head of the Monterey Aquarium.
And we know what the Trilateral Commission is. And the other thing is that Leon Panetta, basically, he's been tied to the Rockefellers all these years.
Do you think that the Panetta Institute would be interested in having Alex be one of their part of their lectures?
Well, they had Alex. Price.
By the way, Alex, we're carrying all the Panetta lecture series, including Al Gore, this next Monday.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyhow,
we could have maybe Al Gore and Alex Jones on the same podium.
I think the world of Leon and Sylvia Panetta, because they think the way I do about exposing all points of view, particularly to younger people.
Well, then I'm sure they'd have Alex Jones on.
Yeah. So
here I can say something nice about Leon Panetta.
Yeah.
He is the guy that came out and exposed the fact that the CIA is carrying out illegal murders and exposed some of the stuff Bush was doing. So, I mean, we could have a worse CIA director.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
Oh, so we got to go, Nick. Thanks for calling. You're John and Salinas, real quick.
Hey.
Talk into the microphone, John. We can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Quick. Go.
I don't care for Alex Jones. I'm really disappointed. I'm a loyal listener. Big fan of the radio station. You know, he got that interview he had when he implied and inferred that Rush Limbaugh was CIA via Buckley. You know, and then Agent Provocateur, Alex, give us a name of one police officer. Give us the name and the badge number of one police officer that acted as Agent Provocateur in a riot situation. Do it. Please put, you know, where is it at? Let me hear it.
Okay, well,
let him talk, John. Let him talk.
Well, John, I mean, I've got Google here in front of me. It'd take a minute or two, but I mean, the Denver Post reported that the police attacked their own officers in a staged event. In fact, my guys are still here. Guys, Google the exact headline of that was, that was a year and a half ago. Search this. Royal Mounted Police admit they attacked their own officers, and then the Denver Post. I'm trying to pull it up. I've been on for 5 hours now because my show is 4 hours. The Denver Post was like, you know, police department admits they started riot, poses anarchist. I mean, you're saying, you know, call up and give me, you know, the molecule structure of chlorophyll. I mean, we know chlorophyll exists; it's in plants, but I mean, it's on record that COINTELPRO, you know, the FBI would stage events over and over again in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and on into the 80s.
You have something on InfoWars or Prison Planet, some evidence
absolutely.
Of that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, go there. I'll do it right now.
Carl Sagan said extraordinary claims require extraordinary proof. If you have any credibility as a person, as a man, as a radio talk show host, don't just make Jake.
Hey, hold on, sir. You know what you're doing here is really a joke.
Okay.
Hold on. He knows full well. He calls in and says, "Give me the name of a police officer who's done this provocateur event." And I just told you that it's. I mean, I gave you two examples. Of this.
Guys, we're running into the next program here now, so
I'll give him a place.
Okay.
Police State 2, The Takeover, is free on YouTube and Google. I made it in 2000, and it's got police on video admitting that it was provocateured, much of it in Seattle.
Okay. Clive in Santa Cruz, you're the last caller.
Michael, good to hear you. Alex, wonderful to hear you on the air here. You're a tremendous patriot and a wonderful person in our nation. Incidentally, Michael, our local sheriff is not Sheriff Mack. Sheriff Mack is one of the honest sheriffs, one of the few honest sheriffs. He took down the Brady Bill. He spoke here last night, and our local sheriffs work for the New World Order. Our judges do. Our district attorney do. I'll give you a name of a police officer.
I feel like a fool, but anyhow, go ahead.
I'll give you a name of a police officer locally here in Santa Cruz, Michael McDonald. He is the shooting instructor for the Santa Cruz Sheriffs. He ran up to my car in 2003 and shot at me from a range of 5 to 7 feet. I was building a next-gen internet with next-generation non-fiat-based banking systems in space. So there's a name for you of police officers. A lot of them work for the New World Order. Many of them don't even know it.
Well, if he's talking about provocateuring, it's come out that the Dallas Police Department was caught framing thousands. That was on NPR, but I found it. Canadian police caught attempting to stage riots. Authorities admit rock-wielding black bloc anarchists were really police infiltrators. Here's one from RCMP Watch, and then this links to the mainstream news. It says, with no proof caught on video, Quebec provincial police were forced to admit Thursday that three undercover agents were playing a part of protesters at this week's international summit in Quebec. And it goes on to talk about how they, and there's video of them attacking their own police. Let me give you the YouTube video. Guys, I want the Denver Post. It's something like, police admit staged riot, Denver Post, okay? I mean, if I had more time, I could sit here. Here's a YouTube video.
I'd love to have more, and I think we've got another show coming up. And